that. In Uganda, we do not say amen. In Uganda, we say amina. Amina. You want to speak in another language? Just say amina. Well, I like aminas. Praise the Lord. They're acceptable here. Feel free to say amina anytime. Hallelujah. You know, what is God like? Who is God? Who is your God? What is he like? You ever think about who God is? You only worship God according to the revelation you have of him. That's as far as you will go in your worship and in your life of who he is. And how do we know God? Not a lot of people have different opinions about, you know, God, what he does and what he doesn't do and who he is. How do we know what is truth? It's because God has decided to reveal himself to us, particularly according to his word. Amen. So this morning, what we're going to do, we are going to confess who God is. Amen. Because it is truth, and the truth will make you free. And you will know who God is. And when you know who he is by truth, you will be who God called you to be. It will set you free, and it sets your faith free. And this morning, I'm going to talk on three things. I talk on mercy, miracles, and ministry. Mercy, miracles, and ministry. Let's say that together. Mercy, miracles, and ministry. So if you'd be kind, would you please stand with me, please? We're gonna speak something from the Word of God concerning truth on who God is. I don't know about you, but I want to know who God is. So, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I want the truth. Amen. Show yourself alive. And he will make known to you his character, his heart, his attributes. You will be overwhelmed and swimming in the goodness of God. And I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon had finished praying, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And God revealed himself to his people. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Everybody say fire. God is a God of fire. Hallelujah. That's an amina right there. God decided, amen, decided to reveal himself. And when they prayed, wouldn't it be great when you pray, the fire falls? Hallelujah. God wants to answer your prayers by fire. When they finished praying, fire fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifice. How many of you know we are the living sacrifice? Amen. We don't make sacrifices. We are the sacrifice. It's you and me. And God wants to put his holy, righteous fire on your life. You are the offering. Jesus was the ultimate offering. Now we are the living sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. That's you and me. This is the old covenant. Now we're in the new covenant. We are the house of God. We are the tent of God. We are the tabernacle together as a church. God wants to fill us. Hallelujah. My goodness, he wants to do it so bad. And the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement. What does that mean? Pavement, you know? This is New King James. On the pavement, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. That's what they said. You know one thing about God? God is good. And his mercy endures forever. So be it. That's who you worship. That's who your God is. He revealed to his chosen people his goodness and his mercy. Woo. So together as a church family, we are going to speak who God is in your spirit. This side will say, for he is good. You know, there's sheep on one side, and there's sheep on the other side. Amen? Yeah? Come on. Baa. Can everybody, someone, baa? Can you say sheep noise? Baa. Amen. We're here. We're sheep, man. You know, we're here. Lord, give it to us. We want to know your goodness. Lord, we want to know your mercy. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So this side will say, for he is good. And this side will say, all right, we're going to be doing this a few times, all right? Are you ready to do this? And when you confess it, just don't try to memorize the words. Think of your God. Amen? Think of how he revealed himself in Solomon this day. Think of how they worshiped on the pavement and they cried out, Lord, you are good, for your mercy endures forever. And just receive the truth of your God. Let him transform your heart right now as you speak God and who he is in your heart. Okay? Are you ready, church? We'll begin this side right here. Amen. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Now let's say it before the Lord as one body in one church. Let's say it in unity to God, our Savior. Say, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Say it again. For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let's personalize and say, for the Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Let's say that together, church. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. Father God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Let's say it one more time as a church before the Lord. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Now you know you can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. In life, you will be under either one or two things. You will either be under a curse or under a covenant. There's no in between. You will either be under a curse of darkness or you will be under the covenant of Almighty God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will redeem you, save you, deliver you, and make you what you're to be. Amen? So we might as well just declare the goodness of God. Amen? And declare his mercies every morning. Amen? Just wake up in the morning and declare his goodness. Do you know years ago, you might have heard this story. There was an old, they call it like a Saxon king, who declared war on the rebel armies who were rebelling against his kingdom. And he made a decree to go out, and he sent his army out to destroy all the rest of the army in rebellion. And their army was destroying lives, taking lives. And finally, the king in the castle, on the headquarters, on the archway of the headquarters, put up a candle. And the king proclaimed a decree that as long as the candle would burn, he will have mercy on anyone who would rebel in his kingdom. All they'd have to do is come back to the castle, give an oath of loyalty, and the king will have mercy on their lives. But it would only go as long as the candle was lit. And so they came. Men, they all came, and their lives were spared if they would surrender and speak an oath of loyalty. How many of you know in this life there is a candle burning, a candle that's in the midst of darkness, like on the arch, like on the cross of Jesus Christ, and that candle burns and it says, I am merciful. I will be merciful to you. All you have to do is surrender to the flame of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The candle's burning. It's burning. It's there to see in pitch darkness. No matter how rebellious we were, no matter what we've done, no matter what the count is, we can go and find mercy. Woo! Jesus lit the candle. Amen? It's lit now. There is mercy with God. He's merciful. He is good, and he's merciful. I want to read also another scripture in Titus, please. I'm going to turn to Titus chapter 3. In the New Testament, Titus chapter 3. Know the mercy and the goodness of God today. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7.
The Bible says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Can we identify with some of that? Let's not be self-righteous, you know? That's where we are as we were. Serving ourselves, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But, everybody say but. But when the kindness and the love of God, there it is. For he is good. Amen. For he is good. For God is good. When the kindness and the love of God, for he is good, our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what, church? Say it again. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Hallelujah. Through mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Through the goodness of God, we are saved through his mercy, through the washing and the renewing. Hallelujah. Just like God, he takes away the shame. He takes away the pain. He takes away the guilt. He washed us and made us clean. And then also, it's a twofold thing, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's just like if you want to add on to this building, you want to make the building bigger. We remove a wall. They come in and they put bigger building in, walls and the roof, and lay carpet in, paint and everything. They're renewing your building. Amen. Well, praise God, through the mercy of God and the goodness of God, he has sent to you the Holy Spirit to renew you. You are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. You are being renewed daily by the Holy Spirit. He is coming into your life. He said, hey, I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to tweak this over here, and I'm going to repair this over here, and I'm going to add this over here in your life. The Holy Spirit is renewing you. Amen? I mean, we have the power of God in us being renewed by God. You have been regenerated and renewed. Can somebody say amina? That is the job and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why he is here. He is here to renew you, give you a brand new life, bring you into a faith covenant with God, bring you into truth and revelation to say, this is my new covenant. Know the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm here to live inside of you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to bring you and to lead you in all truth. I'm here to reveal Jesus to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Renew me. Amen. Through the kindness of God, through the goodness of God, you have been regenerated and renewed. Hallelujah. And all began with mercy. For his mercy endures forever. There was a woman, she was poor, and this is years ago, and she lived in the slums of London. And people got together, knew her, and they said, you know what, we're going to take her on a vacation. And they took her on a vacation to the ocean. She never saw the ocean before, she's too poor, just stayed in the ghetto slum. And when they got her there, they were so happy, here's the ocean, you know, they thought she'd jump up and down. But she began to burst out into tears, being crying like a baby. They said, what's the matter, you don't like the vacation, something wrong, you know? She goes, I never saw anything so huge. I never saw anything so large. She said, all my life, I never seen anything that just was enough. That just was enough of it. Never, never. And that's how God is. You know, when you look at an ocean, think the mercy of God. It's so huge. The mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's bigger than anything you could ever do. It's bigger than anything you could ever say. His mercy endures forever. So when the next time you go to the shore, put your feet in the waves, you know, and say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Let it flow over me. Let your love come over me. And just don't matter how many people are standing there, go out in the water and say, mercy, mercy, mercy. And I think this person's weird, but man, you're weird. Do you understand the mercy of God? Amen. I'm looking at mercy. It's forever. And take a dive. Go in it. Jump in it and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, hallelujah. Amen. That's the mercy of God. Enjoy it. It's there for us. Enjoy it. Put your bathing suit of faith on and get a little sunburn. Amen. Let's go to the shore point. Amen. We'll go to the shore because God wants us to do that. Don't live in the things of the past. The mercy of God is enough. It's bigger than your situation. Amen. I shared this before. It's on my heart. I got to share it again. The thing about the ducks. You remember that one? The servant boy. Well, the missionary there in, say, in Uganda, I'm going to say he has a goat because they understand goats a little more than ducks. And anyway, the missionary said to the young boy, I have a prize goat, and I want you to take care of this goat while I'm gone. I'll come back. But I want you to feed it, care for it. Among your other chores, take care of my goat. And he said, yes, sir, I'll do that, sir. And so anyway, one day, the missionary leaves, and he sees the goat taken care of and everything. Well, you know how kids are, at least the Hoffman boy was. Just ask my parents a little bit. But boy, he had a pretty good arm on. He could throw things. So he looked at that goat, and he took a stone in his hand. I'm just going to hit the little hoof of that goat. Watch him jump. So he threw the rock, and it hit the goat. The goat jumped. He goes, wow, that was so cool. That was so cool. So he got a bigger rock. And he threw at the leg and hit the goat, and the goat jumped again. And boy, this is getting fun. So he goes, I'm going to try to hit his tail, you know, get that goat to jump. And this is getting, so he's going on and on and on. So finally got a rock, but it was too big, and he kind of heaved it over. And next thing you know, pow, it hit the goat in the head. The goat dropped dead. And he looked around. He said, oh, no, the goat. So he dug a hole, put the goat in the hole, buried the goat, and he got up and went back to his chores. He went into the house. He had some kitchen chores to do. He cleaned the kitchen and everything. His friend came and said, okay, now you're done with the kitchen? Yes, I am. He goes, now you're going to clean the bathroom. He said, what? He said, you're going to clean the bathroom. He goes, no, I'm not. That's your job. He goes, oh, no. I saw you kill the goat. I saw what you did with that rock. I know where the goat's buried. You're cleaning the bathroom. He goes, yes, you did. So he went and cleaned the bathroom. When he came out, then the other kid said, you know what? Now you're going to clean the bedroom. He said, no, I'm not. That's your job. He goes, oh, no, I saw the goat. The goat. I saw you. I'm going to tell on you. You know, so he ran. He cleaned the bedroom. Well, the next day it was the same thing. He had to clean the bathroom, clean the bed. He did all the other chores for the other kid all week long. And he was so tired of working under this bondage that when the missionary came, he ran down the lane, got on his knees, said, "The goat! I killed the goat!" And the missionary goes, "You did what?" He goes, "I killed the goat." The missionary said, "You know what? That was a wrong thing to do, but I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to have mercy on you. You're forgiven." And boy, he got up. Hallelujah. He was so happy. He ran down the lane. He was so set free. He went back and he cleaned up that kitchen. And his friend said, now get the bathroom. He goes, no, I'm not. He goes, get the bathroom. The goat. I'm going to tell the missionary. He goes, I've already confessed it. I am forgiven. I'm free. I'm not going to work for you anymore. And he walked away a free boy. Never had to work again. You know what? That's what the mercy of God does in your life. You don't have to obey those lies of the devil. You don't have to obey darkness in your life. You are set free. That thing's been buried and it's also been forgiven. Jesus forgives you. So go. Don't no longer live under the condemnation. No longer live under the voice of the enemy. Only live under the voice of Jesus Christ, who gives you liberty and freedom and peace. Amen. Mercy is yours. The ocean is yours. Go out and look at the ocean. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy endures forever. For you are good. Hallelujah. Don't carry the other stuff. Amen. We all threw rocks. Amen. Some rocks were bigger than others, but we all threw rocks. Amen. The same blood. Amen. We can give God praise for what he is doing. One day, I wear two hats also. I have a painting business, ministry. And one day in the painting business, I went into the paint store in Ephrata. Quick went in. Ephrata has parking meters. And as I went in, I did my thing, came right out, 2-3 minutes, all it was. And I looked across the street, and there she was, the parking meter maid. And I thought, she got me, because I didn't put my little nickel or dime in the meter. I forgot. I just went in the store, came right out. And so I looked over at my van. Sure enough, ticket was there. $15. And so I said, oh, man, I don't know about this. So I went to the police station. And I said, I need to talk to someone about this ticket. And they said, she's not in. She'll call you. So I gave my number.
Within 48 hours, she called me. Her name was Tracy. She said, "What is your issue?" I said, "My name is Steve Hoffman." I said, "For many over 20 years, I did business in the Ephrata area. I mostly try to keep my money within two paint stores in Ephrata. I try to support my community, and I did wrong." I said, "I went into a store. As a matter of fact, when I came out, I saw you. I went to a store, and I bought something in like 2 or 3 minutes. I came out, and you put a ticket on my van." I said, "I want to ask you for mercy. I want to ask you that this can be omitted from my life, from mercy." "No." "No." I said, "Okay, Tracy, I admit I'm wrong. And right now, finances aren't always the best. I want you just to have mercy on me and just forgive me for it." "No," she said, "there's no excuse." I said, "Tracy, I'm not giving you, this is a true conversation." So I said, "Tracy, I'm not giving you an excuse." I got my preacher voice on, actually. I said, "Tracy, I'm not giving you an excuse. I told you I am wrong. I did wrong. For the borough of Ephrata, I broke the law. I didn't put my dime in the meter. I'm sorry, I'm not giving excuses. I'm just asking you for mercy. I'm asking you not to give me something I deserve. I'm asking you for grace. I'm asking you to give me something I don't deserve. Just freedom from this $15 fee. Just give me mercy." She goes, "No." She said, "If you want to dispute it," then she gave me a phone. She said, no, Tracy, I'm not here to dispute it. I told you I'm wrong." I said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, Tracy. You do your job well. I said, "Thank you for enforcing the law in Ephrata. Have a great day." I hung up and paid my fine. There's no mercy in law. Whoo, huh? What a friendly reminder of what life is all about. I wanted her to do what I wanted her to do. And the law said no. I'm guilty. We're guilty. And I said, and I didn't do it yet, but this is a while back. I said, "I want to write an article in the Ephrata newspaper telling our community how great it is, you know, and I pray for the mayor. It's not but I want the Ephrata to know, because of the law of God, we're all condemned. There's no hope with you." That's pretty like sobering. The law is a schoolmaster, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, my God, we're all going to go to hell. And just let the community know, there's no hope. The law says no. Thank you, Tracy, for reminding me. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen, in my need, Jesus gave me mercy. Amen. So Ephrata, right now, obtain mercy while you can. The candle is lit. The ocean is roaring. Jump in. I mean, the reality of mercy. Without it, my goodness, my. It all begins with the mercy of God. Because I'm guilty. We're all guilty. Amen. We are guilty. Doesn't matter. For 20 years, if I put a dime in the meter, for 20 years, gave my thousands and thousands of dollars to paint stores, that don't matter. That one time I'm wrong. I blew it. That's the way it is. And if we could just get the reality and understand then how the goodness of God, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Woo. You know? Napoleon, that leader, a woman confronted him and said, "My son needs to be pardoned." And she actually said it out of her mouth. It's recorded. "Have mercy on my son." Napoleon said, "No, it's a second offense. He deserves death. He must have justice." And she said, "No, I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy." Napoleon said, "He don't deserve mercy." And she said, "In his need, if he would deserve it, it wouldn't be mercy. All I'm saying is mercy." And everything got quiet. Napoleon said, "Yeah, you're right." He said, "So be it." He said, "Let him go." And he let the boy go. That woman cried out for Napoleon could understand mercy. You know, understand God's heart for mercy. He is willing to forgive and to renew and to bless. That's the heart of God, for he is good. He doesn't think like a man. God is God. God is good. God is good. God is good. You know, we got to get our minds renewed to who God is. And when we understand that he is good, we understand his mercy and the power of that mercy. My goodness, I have to quickly go for something else here real quick. I want to read Matthew 15, just two verses in Matthew 15. I want to get some scriptures about real people. Amen. Real people here. Matthew 15, verses 21 and 22. Again, many of you know this story. Actually, I think I preached this here one Sunday years ago. But again, it's about, you know, this woman, Gentile, who came to Jesus for a miracle. And how did she come? Verse 21 reading, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, what have? Say it again. Yeah. Have a mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. You are the Messiah. O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. The Bible says she wasn't demon-possessed. It said she was severely demon-possessed. Have a mercy on me. And as you know the story, Jesus didn't answer her, not a word. And so she had overcome, but she pressed in. And the disciples said, send her away. But she pressed in, and then she began to worship him. And you know what? If there's any weakness in God's armor, it's worship. Hallelujah. Amen. You begin to worship. Then he said, you know, when you're a salesman and you give the closing line, you never talk. You know that? The person who speaks usually loses the ordeal. Like, I used to sell vacuum cleaners, and you'd say, blah, 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 blah. Now, wouldn't you like to have this nice vacuum cleaner? And you know, they train you to just shut up. I mean, if you're there for 5 years, just look at them. You know, just because you don't want to say it. Because if you say it, they may come back and no, you just be quiet. And that's the thing. When she began to worship Jesus, he couldn't help it. He started talking to her. He was quiet the whole time until she began to worship him. And then he said, aha, how can I give my bread to little dogs? And then she said, yeah, but even them look on from the master's table. My goodness, hallelujah, that we would have the master's table. Amen. Hallelujah. May the master's table be yours. We need to be there. And then they said, be it done unto you. But she first cried out for what? When we begin to operate in the mercy of God, we will begin to operate in the miracles of Jesus Christ. You want miracles? Understand grace and mercy. And they're going to be flowing out because you're going to be like this woman. Lord, I'm not leaving. I'm believing. You know, I'm going to stay here for my trial becomes a triumph. I'm staying right here because I believe in the mercy of God. Have a mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. I don't care what the disciples say. I don't care, Lord. Just have your mercy on my life. Amen. It endures forever. The mercy of God is for you, no matter how old, no matter where you go, what you do. The mercy of God is real. Amen. The other one, Bartimaeus. Let's turn, if you're in your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11. Actually, it's chapter 10, excuse me. Mark 10, 46, 48. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, 46, 48. Again, someone needed a miracle. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, he was there, he's on the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, everybody say, Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, remember that name. Amen. Remember the name of Jesus. Hey, when Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and he said, what did he say, church? Yeah. Woo! Yeah, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. What did he say? Amen. Son of David, have mercy on me, church. You know, he kept on crying out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And what happened to him? Jesus called him out, and he dropped his coat, ran over, or walked, I don't know, and he received his sight. Amen. The mercy of God, because of his mercy, birthed forth his miracles. And it leads us into ministry. This is a good one. Turn with me to Luke and they say in Uganda, Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. We're going to close with these words in Luke chapter 8. Jesus, in his ministry on the earth, did three things, basically, three things. Theologians say two things. I believe he did three things. He preached the kingdom. Amina. He healed the sick. He made disciples. Those three things he did. That's what he's doing today. He's alive today, Jesus, and he is healing the sick. He is making disciples, and we're preaching the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom is extended into all the world. Well, here we have Jesus now in the ministry, and it says in verse 1, now it came to pass after that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, the women you're going to like this, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Jonah, the wife of Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's servant, steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Mercy, miracles, and ministry. Right here we have exactly what we're speaking of this morning. These women had evil spirits and infirmities. Darkness. But they were healed. The Greek word healing right here is the word we get therapy from. Think of the word therapy. Think it goes like therapeua, Greek word. Therapy. So the women were healed. Jesus was their therapy. In other words, therapy is something ongoing. So some of these women had an ongoing relationship with Jesus. They would follow him around. They would receive his teaching. They would go under his prayer ministry. They were being healed. They were being delivered. They were being set free. They were being renewed by Jesus of Nazareth. And they're being healed constantly. Their lives are going to the Lord, following him, hearing him speak, receiving miracles from him. And then because of that, they begin to minister, the Bible says, out of their substance. So here we have the substance, that is the Greek word property, estates, investments. So these women, after receiving deliverance, Mary, demons coming out of her, they decided now that they're going to live to give in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so they begin to sow their seed. Usually, really what this is saying is, say they had a property for rent, the money they get from that property, out of the substance, not into it, but out of substance, out of their investments, out of their wealth, out of what they put their money into. They had certain things that out of that came to provide and supply and support the ministry of Jesus Christ. But they first received his mercy. They first received the mercy of God. Then they received the miracles of God. And then they moved out in the ministry to support Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be my therapist. Amen. Amen. I want to be, Lord, I need your therapy today, you know. Be real to me. Minister to me. Minister my heart, you know, and set me free that I can live to give. Amen. I want to be that way. I want to enter into the place of ministering to what Jesus is doing on the earth today. Being free to do so. Well, he's your therapist. Amen. Receive his word in your heart and in your life, and let him guide you. And all of a sudden, sometimes you don't even realize it. You begin to minister by the power of the Holy Spirit and the things that he wants you to do on this earth. And sometimes it's just a flow of life, because that's who God is, and you become like him. You become doing what he's doing. You become interested in what he's interested in. You become, then you lose your will, and your will becomes the will of Jesus Christ on this earth.
You ever take notice of that? You start doing what he wants you to do. And then not only that, the greatest miracle isn't just the, wow, your eyes were blind, now they're open. But no, the miracle is you served God all these years and you sowed into the kingdom and many other people were blessed. Can you imagine your heavenly bank account? Can you imagine what God is doing in the heavenlies and in the eternal bank account that you have with God? Because now you are ministering on this earth the will of Jesus Christ. And it all began with mercy. It all began when he poured out miracles in your life. And it all began outpouring when you decided, you know what, I'm following it. I'm going to sow my seed into what Jesus is doing on this earth. It's a blessing. Mercy, miracles, and ministry. And it's my heart to see every one of us operating in the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. Whatever that may, it may not look the way what I do, but it's still what God wants to do in and through you. The word preach, like the gospel, is like mentioned 112 times in the Bible. Maybe there's 112 people here today. We each claim one, right? But only 6 times. Only 6 times out of 112 is it the preaching of an evangelist. Everything else is more you're sharing the good news with boldness of Jesus Christ. We all can do that. We all have that within us. And when you receive the mercy of God, you know who God is by mercy, and you're receiving that mercy, and you're seeing those miracles, believe me, you're going to begin to minister Jesus Christ to others. Amen. Oh, we won't even stop you. You will be church, you're unstoppable. Amen? You're all powerful in Christ. Amen? You are a force. What this world needs to see, they need to see mercy activated in their lives. All they know is condemnation. All they know is guilt and fear. All they know is taking advantage of each other, fighting and quarreling, ripping each other off. They need to see and have mercy in their lives. Oh, they are struggling, doctor bills, hospital bills, making ends meet. What they need are God-breathed miracles in their lives. They don't know their purpose. They don't know what they're going to do. What they need in life is to know the ministry and have the ministry of Jesus in their lives that they may be fulfilled. And that's what this church is all about. Amen. So let's stand in the gap this morning. Let's stand in the gap that outside of these walls, we want to touch people with the real Jesus and see transformation come through Jesus Christ. Dwayne, would you come on the piano, please? We want to close a little bit. We want to have some ministry time together. By the way, this one of these women, Joanna, many people claim that, you know, her husband was a Herod's steward. Many people claim this is the wife of the nobleman who confronted Jesus. I think it's in John chapter 4, who said, "My son is at a point of death. Jesus, come and heal him." And Jesus went and just spoke the word, and his son was healed. Many people believe this is the wife of that man, that the son was totally healed, and from that point on, she followed Jesus. Isn't that pretty unique? We don't know for sure. Someday in heaven, we'll know. Because I can't wait to bug Jesus with these videotapes and DVDs. I'm going, "Lord, let's put on that DVD when you healed that nobleman's son. One more." He goes, "Not that one again." "Yeah, one more time. Put it on. I want to see that. That's a good one." You know? You know? Put the one on where, you know, Victory Christian Fellowship went to Green Dragon Farm Market in Ephrata and raised the dead or something. Just put that one on, you know? God wants to videotape you and show, "Oh, heaven, this is my son and daughter," you know. You receive the mercy of God. You receive the miracles of God. And now you're under the covenant of God. You're a son and daughter of God. Amen. I mean, God is so good. Just begin to play once, Dwayne. We're gonna close up here. Hallelujah. God is so rich in mercy. He wants to take us many places. Did I ever share with you the illustration of the eagle, the turkey and the eagle? Did we see it, do that one here? If you don't, you're going to hear it again. I don't think, some of you don't know. Well, here it is. There was a mama eagle, and she had eggs, had a nest. And one day, the one egg shifted, and the egg
went out of the nest, rolled down the mountain, went on a turkey farm, and laid there. Then on the turkey farm, one morning, cracked open. Out came the eagle looking around, and all he saw was turkeys. And all the turkeys are scratching, you know, the ground and pecking and scratching and pecking. And you know, so the eagle looked around, the eagle began to scratch and peck the ground. And whatever the turkeys would do, he would do. And peck and scratch and dig the dirt. One day, other eagles about the same age flew by and looked at, said, "What? Look down there. Isn't that an eagle? He's acting like a turkey." Oh, they laughed. Their little eagle wings were flapping, laughing. What an idiot. Look at this dude, man, pecking around, eating worms. And they went out and they soared, and they're, you know, it's flying high and just flying. And that crazy guy down there. And finally, one of them got ticked off. They said, "Hey, man, he's an eagle. I'm not going to have no eagle going down there like a turkey." And so, yeah, let's get him. And then they flew down, grabbed him. They said, "Hey, you're an eagle." He said, "No, man, I'm a turkey." He said, "No, you're an eagle." He said, "I'm a turkey." They said, "Fly, man." So he started flapping his wings. He didn't do nothing. They said, "Fly." He couldn't do nothing. He said, "I'm a turkey." So they got ticked off. Said, "No, you're an eagle." They flew down. And they grabbed him. And they started going higher and higher. He goes, "Help me, help me, help me." So we're going to let you go. And you're going to fly. He said, "No, I can't fly. I'm a turkey." "You're an eagle. Fly. I'm going to let you go." "No, I'm going to die." He said, "You fly or die." And they left go of him. And he began to flap his, you know, eagle. But he started going down and down and lower down the earth. "I'm going to die. I'm going to die." And they said, "Don't flap your wings. Open up your wings and begin to soar." And he did. He just opened them up. And the wind went under the wings and began to soar. He goes, "Hey, look, look, look." He goes higher and higher over the clouds. He goes, "Look, look, I'm an eagle. I'm an eagle." My goodness, church, we're eagles. Didn't we sing that song, "Eagle's Wings," intimacy with God? Just be intimate with Jesus and intimate with God and get your eagle wings. Get your wings on. Allow the breath, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. Just get into the God breathed. Get into God breathed. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth proceeds of the mouth of God. Let's understand what's God breathed. Let the breath of God give us revelation. Let the breath of God let us know who He is. Merciful, merciful, for you are good. And begin to open up your wings. Just stand with me, please. Just stand with me, please. Just begin to open up your wings by faith right now. Hallelujah. Just begin and say, "Lord, I want to know more of you." Right now, just, "I want to know more of you, Jesus." Right now, Lord, right now. Ah, Father God. Right now, we empty ourselves this morning, Lord. Just empty ourselves. We surrender. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we surrender. Not our will, but Thy will be done, Lord. Show us Your mercy. We invite grace to come. Hallelujah. We invite grace to come. We're not in this alone. We won't be lonely anymore. You are with us. You are in us. Energize us, Lord. Reveal Yourself to us. Build Your church, Jesus. Hallelujah. Build Your church, Lord. Give us wings like eagles. Hallelujah. Lord, the goat has been buried. We have been forgiven. Hallelujah. We want to move on. Yes, Lord, we want to press on. Forgetting those things that are behind, Lord, equip us right now in Jesus' name. I don't know the need. Lord, You know the needs of Your people right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name. We cry out for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit upon Your people now, Lord. Hallelujah. To equip, to encourage, to exhort. I ask You to bless Your people now, oh God, today. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right where you are, you don't have to come forward. Is there anyone here that really has a need of healing? Let me see your hand. Is you really going to believe God for healing this morning? Beverly, would you come, please? Beverly, would you come? We're going to pray for you. Just keep your hands up, those who want to. You know, as we do, if you can, just touch the area with your one hand that you're going to believe God as a token of faith. Right now, we're going to speak the word. I'm going to have my wife pray. I'm going to stand in agreement this morning for you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your healing grace, your power today. By your stripes, we were healed. And right now, Lord, we simply just come before you, stand a gap for your people right now, Lord. You said, is there any sick among you? So right now, we just give these people to you. Holy Spirit, we just relinquish our ways, and we receive your grace today that's sufficient right now for your healing power. Amen.
Father, you see every hand that's raised, Lord God. We just pray that you would touch each one of them from the top of their head, from the top of their heads down to the soles of their feet, Lord God. We thank you that we can stand on your word that by your stripes we are healed, Lord Jesus. And for every person that needs a healing in their body, God, we cry out for mercy. Just as we heard the word this morning, your mercy endures forever.
Amen.
So we thank you, God, for mercy upon each person, Lord God, that we can claim your word and say, yes, Lord, God, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You have set me free today. And we just pray, God, that we go from this place proclaiming who you are and what you've done in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits today, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim that you are a faithful God and that your mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Thank Amen. You, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank
we just,
you, Jesus.
If it's okay, Les and Julie, can we just pray for your church as far as ministering? Listen, willing to do that this morning. If you have a need or just want to come up for renewal or whatever you want to do, right now, in the name of Jesus, just come forward and just come have a line up front. We'll be glad just to pray for you this morning. Amen. We'll just be glad to pray for you. Hallelujah. Just going to lay my hands on you. Pray, you know, God's mercy in your life, God's blessing on your life. Amen. Just get a blessing this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.